Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never change anything.
Oh, Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Well, hey folks, and welcome to Solar Cabin Channel. I've got a neat little project for you. I call the Multi Shack. This is one of my homeless housing solutions designs. And some of you probably don't know this, but I was homeless twice in my life. The first time was when I was trying to get into college, and I had lost my job and was waiting for my college funding to come in. And so I had to live in my truck. I lived in the cab of my truck for almost 2 months while I waited for my college funding to come in. And then again later in life when I got divorced and didn't have a job and was trying to get off grid, I lived for almost 2 years in a camp trailer. And you know, there's a lot of people that homeless people that have their pride. They want to maintain their independence. They don't want to live on welfare. They don't want to be caught up in the system. And you know, all they need is a simple shelter. You know, some place to get out of the cold, to get out of the wind, to get out of the rain, while they get back on their feet. And so I know there's a lot of organizations out there that are helping the homeless, churches, nonprofits, and things like that. So I came up with this small structure design, which I call the multi-shack, because it has actually multi-uses to it. And it can be built very affordably. You can build this entire shack for under $200. And it is built on wheels. It can be put on either a 4x6 trailer, or you can build it on casters. Casters are a lot less expensive, but it still allows you to move this unit around. So you could store, you know, a bunch of these on a church parking lot, and then just when you need them, you can move them out to wherever you want the person to be using them. Casters are 4-inch casters. Each caster will hold up to 240 pounds, so they'll more than handle the weight for this structure here. Now, this structure is 6 foot 5 inches from the peak to the bottom, 6'5". So an even a tall person can stand upright inside this structure. The door is 1'6" wide and about 5'3" to the peak up there in the door. And the structure is 4 foot wide approximately and about 6 foot long. About 6 foot long by 4 foot wide, 6'5" to the peak. And this is constructed very inexpensively from 2x4 framing, which I'll show you, and uses, I would use 7/16 OSB or plywood. Either one would work for the siding on this. Now, a couple of the features here. I show this with dorm windows. The dorm windows are actually optional. You don't have to put dorm windows. You can just go with a flat roof surface if you want here. I show this with wood shingles, or you could use just plain old tar paper and roofing shingles. Any type of roofing shingles would work on this. Show it with a little flower box there just for effect. And on the backs and the front, I show this with these round windows, like boat-style windows, or you could put square windows. Either one works. I just like the effect of the round windows, the look of those in there. This does have an access panel on the back. Down here is an access panel. We'll just open this up so I can show you. Open up, take this one off. There we go. Now you can see inside the access panel. Underneath the seat and bed is storage. Lots of storage underneath here for a propane tank, one of those Port-a-Loo porta-potties, an ice chest over there you can see. Okay, so there's good storage. This is about 18 inches high inside here and about 4 feet wide inside. So the structure, I'll show this with the door open. Let me just hide this door here. With the door open, you can see I've got this set up. Right now I've got it set up for seating. During the day, this would be used for seating purposes, okay? And I'm going to pull the side roof off here so I can show you inside. But this has a very nice space for a person that maybe is going to school or working, or just the table can be used for eating or whatever. So you've got approximately 6 feet of space on the inside here by 4 feet wide. And this table is actually part of the bed platform, which I'll show you. You just pull the 2x4 out, put it in one of these slots. It's in this 2x4 here. There's another one on the other side. You just drop the 2x4 into the slot, and then you take your bed panel and put it up on top of that, and then that becomes a table. Here you've got 2 foot by 4 foot cushions. There's three of these cushions that become your bed, or you can use a roll-up mattress pad underneath this that becomes your bed. But during the daytime, it becomes seating. It becomes a little mini couch in here, 4 foot wide. And now you've got a space for a student to do their studies, their work, or for having your meal, or if you're working on a hobby or a craft or something like that, you've got this nice little space. When you need to get out the door, you just lift the table up, put it back, put the 2x4 back in the bottom slots, put the table down, and then you turn it into a bed. And I'm going to show you what it looks like as a bed, too. So, good headroom in this. I really like that it's got a very good space. This is an average person, 5'8" tall. You can see you've got lots of headroom here. You've got these nice dormer windows, which would give you lots of light. Lots of light, and also gives you a little bit more headroom up in this area right in here. A 6 foot person could stand up in the middle of this quite comfortably. Two people could actually share, sit side by side on this couch, or you can put in another, you could pull your ice chest cooler out, or someone could put a foldable chair on the other side here. So you could actually have two people sitting side by side or crossways next to each other here. So lots of space in this little place. So let me show you what the framing looks like on this first. And I'll just have to zoom in on this. Now this is all done with 2x4 construction to keep it inexpensive and easy to build. And then I would sheathe it with either 7/16 inch OSB or plywood. Either one would work. Now, it's got a floor frame, as you can see, made of 2x4s down here. Simple 2x4 frame, floor frame construction. And then your casters attach to the corners, not exactly in the corners, but they attach to the floor framing. And the casters have locks on them, so once you move this in place, you can just click on the locks and lock it in place so it won't be rolled around while the person is inside it. Now, this is the bed platform, and it has this back platform is 2 foot 6 inches wide, and it is permanently connected. These are 1 foot 9 inch wide platforms that can be raised up, and as you can see, these 2x4s right here, you put the 2x4 up in these other slots, and then you put these panels up on top, and they become either a table or a workspace. This one can go up here. This one can go on the end. It can go over the middle. So I gave you lots of options for the ways that you can organize this into workspace or living space as you need to use it. Very simple construction. Takes about 20 2x4s to build this. That's about it. And you're looking at about under $200 for all the material costs. And you could build one of these in a day. Seriously, you could build the complete unit in about a day. And now I'm going to show you on the inside how this can be used as a bed and also as a small business. So I'm just going to click off this. Okay, now I show this with the bed down. The door open so you can kind of get a peek inside here. Now, this is an uninsulated structure. You really don't need insulation in a small structure like this because the human body puts off about as much heat as a 90-watt light bulb. So in a small structure like this, your own body heat will actually heat it up. And for sleeping, you can either do these pads like this as mattress pads, or you can just get a sleeping bag pad or even an air cushion pad to go underneath it. A sleeping bag pad would work fine because you can roll it up and use it as your seating. And a good heavy-duty sleeping bag would be all you would need in order to sleep very comfortably in here. As long as you don't have the wind blowing on you or the rain drenching you or snow piling up on you, you'll sleep very comfortably in a small structure like this. Your own body heat will heat it up. You could add a heater to these, but it really isn't necessary in these small structures. So I'm going to pull off the side roof, and I'm going to show you how much space this has inside it for a bed. It actually has a very nice bed that will sleep either one or two people. Pull this off here. Just hide this. Now, this has a 4 foot wide by 6 foot long bed. So even an average person can sleep in here. Even a tall person, fairly tall person, could sleep in here comfortably without being cramped. And it's 4 foot wide, so that's a very wide bed that will actually sleep two people. Two people could sleep in this space, all right? And it's 6 foot wide, and it's 4 foot wide and 6 foot long. This person I show in here is about 5 foot 8 inches tall, which is average height for most people. And here you can see the slots I was talking about. These platforms, which I'll show you, I'll take the bed off now. These two platforms are removable with 2x4s underneath them. You just take the 2x4, you put it in the slots that go across here, and then put these platforms up on top to make your table. And you can actually do a table on either end, or one in the middle for a desk and table. Now, the ones on the ends I'll show you are used if you want to run a small business out of here, or if you want to organize this in a different way so that if you're cooking, you could put one of these tables on this end or on this end, and you could set up your cooking supplies and you can take care of yourself. You can cook a meal inside this little place right here. So 4 foot wide, 6 foot long bed, and then very adaptable with these platforms of 2x4s. You can just put them up and you can reorganize this any way you want during the daytime for whatever function that you're going to be using. Again, it has storage space underneath the bed and seating. You've got that nice access panel for you. You've got storage underneath there. And I really like the space in here. This would be enough adequate space if in an emergency, let's say that a city has a disaster, a fire like they just had in Canada wipes out.
You don't want to hurt Willona, is that it? Now you heard what she said. She loves him and they're going to get married again, right? Now nothing happened. Nothing.
Caught you two in the act.
Yeah, you should learn to knock.
Learn to knock in my own house? Yeah, Mike, we got to knock in my own house now.
Oh, Flo, listen. We got to cut out. I'll see you later. Come on, baby, let's go.
Willona.
Huh?
Something happened between those two.
What do you mean something happened? Thelma, come out here.
Lorna, Thelma won't say anything because she doesn't want to hurt you. And I don't want to see you get hurt either.
Flo, hey. What are you really talking about?
Come on, baby, let's go.
Well, Lorna, I've got to talk to you.
Come on, let's go,
Lorna,
baby.
Will you listen to me?
I am listening, girl. What are you trying to say?
Well, what I'm trying to say is Ray has not changed one bit.
What?
He's still a bum.
What the hell are you mean?
Hey, girl,
you are.
Wait a minute. You won't stop this. You don't break up your friendship over some creep like him.
What do you mean, creep?
Lorna.
What?
I'm going to tell you the truth.
What?
Ray? He came up pretty strong with me. Yes, he did. He grabbed me.
Now, she's lying. What are you going to believe, some flaky kid or your old man? Now, make up your mind. You're going with me or you're going to stay.
All right, Ray. You get your nickel-slick bones out of here.
Well, Ray, you got the word split. Willie.
You have what my son said.
Hold it.
Flo, please. Please. JJ, you keep your hands to yourself. Ray is mine.
That's my sweet Willie.
Ray. All right, baby. Look, I'm glad you told me. I'm just so sorry it happened to you. Oh, but it wasn't you. It'd be somebody else sooner or later.
Hey, well, Lorna, don't worry. I mean, you're a good-looking chick, you know? You don't need a turkey like that. You can get any turkey you want.
That's right, Lorna. There are a lot of other fish in the sea. Well, what I'm trying to say is...
Honey, listen. I know what you're trying to say. And there's also a lot of other pebbles on the beach.
Right. There are lots of other pebbles on the beach.
All right.
Hello? Jackson's Bakery? This is Lorna Woods. You know the cake I ordered? The one with the three layers? The doves on the side, the silver bells, and the bride and groom on top. Well, there. Yes, the one. I want to make one little tiny, small adjustment. You know what you were going to write? Congratulations, Ray and Bologna. Change that to Happy Bar Mitzvah Stuart Goldberg. And I hope you find a buyer. I couldn't.
All right, man.
Just looking out of the window, watching the asphalt grow, thinking how it all looks hand-me-down.
Good times,
oh, yeah.
Good times, keeping your head above water, making a way when you can.
Times is videotaped in front of a studio audience. All right, that was a little piece we did for the late great Jhené Dubois, known by one of the characters. She probably was the most prominent character that she played as an actress, Lorna Woods, on the TV show Good Times. She passed away yesterday, or at least I found out yesterday. Died in her sleep, passed away in her sleep. So So that was a scene in one of the Good Times episodes. And the guy who played her fiancé slash ex-husband in that piece was a guy named, the actor, he's been gone, Carl Lee. Carl Lee, who probably his most prominent role was in Superfly, the original Superfly, which he co-starred with Ron O'Neill, Carl Lee. I guess one day we need to do a podcast or two on some of these lesser-known actors like Carl Lee. His birth name was Carl Vincent Canegata, if I'm pronouncing that right. But anyway, we're gonna say that for another podcast. But anyway, so Janae Dubois, she's left the building, and you can go on YouTube and catch many episodes of Good Times, of which she was on that show, a very important part of that show. And she did other works as well. But that, Good Times, the role of Wilona Woods, that's probably her most prominent acting role. And then I was also looking for, but I couldn't find it, the version of the Jefferson's theme song, Moving On Up. She sang that. There's somebody else singing it, but the version that was on the Jeffersons, I think she sung, well, not think, she definitely sung that, and she sang the lead on that, and I think she even co-wrote that thing, Moving On Up, which is, hey, man, that song right there defines a generation. That's my parents' generation. Moving On Up, and we were really moving on up. But couldn't find the original. Couldn't find the original, so I had to do some looking at it. It's somewhere online, somewhere. Anyway, but we might do something tomorrow or the next week to find more of the works of Janae Dubois. Anyway, today's podcast is titled Education Deserts and Manufacturing Deserts. We got one little short audio on that, so let me play that. And then when we come back, I want to get your thoughts on Dwayne Wade well, not so much him. What are your thoughts on parents and transgender children? Parents and transgender children. And then we'll use the case of Dwayne Wade and maybe one other as examples. Dwayne Wade's son, or one of his sons, at, 12 years old, has identified himself as a transgender female. So I want to throw that out there, see how you guys feel about that. All right. Anyway, since I did name this podcast for all these trending topics, Education Deserts and Manufacturing Deserts, let me play this one little piece to fulfill that obligation, and then we'll get into the trending topics of the day.
You know, there are so many things closing all around rural America in this country, and it's not surprising that there are education deserts there. This came out July 1st, 2019, at The Atlantic, the education deserts of rural America. 1 in 3 Montanans live more than 60 minutes from the nearest college campus. the tracts of land that separate these individuals and institutions are sometimes called education deserts, and they cover many patches of rural America. And to that, the fact that nearly 40% of first-time, full-time freshmen attend institutions fewer than 50 miles from home. And these statistics begin to sketch the outlines of a crisis. The high school education gap actually narrowed between 2000 and 2015. Now, students are just about as likely to obtain a high school diploma whether they live in a rural or an urban environment, according to a report from the United States Department of Agriculture. But during the same time period, the college completion gap has widened. The share of urban adults with at least a bachelor's degree grew from 26% to 33%, while in rural areas, share grew from 15% to 19%, the report found. The gap could be due in part to students leaving rural areas after college, or to adults with college degrees moving to urban or suburban areas in search of jobs. Regardless, the gaps have grown by 4%. We need to take seriously the idea that everyone deserves access to a quality education, and we need to do everything we can to make that a reality. Tara Westover, the author of the memoirs Educated, said on stage at the Aspen's Idea Festival, okay, so they are acknowledging that there are, these education deserts in rural America. Her comments harken back to the research that has been done on the diploma divide between Republicans and Democrats since the election of Trump. In the 2016 election, 66% of non-college educated white voters voted for Trump, compared with just 48% of white voters who did have a college degree. The trend grew during the midterms. At the same time, and perhaps relatedly, there is an urban-rural split, with voters in major cities almost unfailingly voting for Democrats and voters in more rural areas leaning towards Republicans. But those who live in rural areas tend to be stereotyped as white people who vote for Trump, which neglects the diversity of people and thought there. Mm-hmm. As a Chronicle Higher Education analysis revealed, 29.5% of all Native Americans live in education deserts, dotting rural areas across the country, which is very true. And they totally ignore the black community that's also in rural America completely. You know, that's where both of my parents came from. They came from rural areas, and there's still quite a few black people in those areas. Online education is also sometimes touted as a solution for education deserts, but a rural student seeking an online degree is more likely to run into infrastructure problems. That's right, because in many locations, they don't even have broadband in rural America. So that's very true. A report from the Center for American Progress, a left-leaning think tank, showed only about 63% of people in rural areas have broadband internet access in their homes, compared with 75% of people in urban locales, which is very true. Another potential answer is to encourage states to invest in higher education. placing more good, affordable options in places that need them. But if the trend of state disinvestment in public higher education holds, that may prove fruitless. Alaska's governor, for example, cut $130 million from the state university system budget on Friday. Coupled with the previous cuts, the state system has lost 41% of its state support budget this year. Yeah, I heard the people in Alaska were not happy about that. The truth of education in America, as Westover noted, is that some people are going to get a lot of...
Okay, all right. I'm cutting that a little bit short. We're going to cover this more in detail. I'm just going with my gut feeling today. We'll come back to education deserts and manufacturing deserts on another day and play that piece in its entirety. I want to jump in on a trending topic. There are always a gazillion trending topics, but this one, what are your thoughts on parents and transgender children? I want to play this one piece here by rapper Lil Boozy, his comments on Dwayne Wade, NBA basketball player who has a child who has identified as transgender.
You gonna be big. Yep. Straight up. You gonna be big. Go to TV. You gonna be big. Straight up.
I gotta say something about this shit, bro. Dwayne Wade, you gone too fucking far, dog. That is a male. A 12-year-old. At 12, they don't even know what their next meal gonna be. They don't have shit figured out yet. He might meet a woman, anything, at 16 and fall in love with her. But his dick be gone. How he gonna... Like, bro, you going too far, dog. Don't cut his dick off, bro. Like, bro, for real. If he gonna be gay, let him be gay. But don't cut his dick off, bro. Like, don't address him as a woman, dog. He 12 years old. He's not up there yet. He hasn't made his final decisions yet. Don't cut his fucking dick off, Dwayne Wade, bro. You fucking tripping, dog. You tripping, dog. You tripping, dog.
All right, what are your thoughts on it? 12 is really...
Stay in it, man. Really? Go to TV. You're going to be big, man, for real. Follow me, man. Subscribe, for real. Yeah.
Okay, that was an advertisement for Gutter TV. Okay. But 12 years old is pretty young to make a permanent life decision. Anyway, but what are your thoughts on it? 619-768-2945. I don't know if I was in the position of Dwayne Wade, which I'm not, and I don't know Dwayne Wade or nothing like that, but I'm old school. If you were born assigned to sex, you got a penis or a vagina, that's how you identify biologically. Now, anything after that, in my household, under my roof, particularly with it, like I say, it gay's one thing. Okay, if you want to roll that way, you roll that way, no judgment. But the transgender thing, particularly if it comes to operations or how you're going to be addressed. Man, wait till they're 18, and then they've had, as his son is 12, And that's a big jump. The difference between 12 years old and 18 years old, that's a gap. A lot does happen no matter how you identify in those 6 years. You can meet one person on an intimate level, or even what they can meet a classroom teacher that can say something that can profoundly impact their lives. We all have our favorite teachers. And that was somebody that said something or did something or taught a subject or said something in that class that we still remember, no matter what age you are. Anyway, what are your thoughts on it? 314, your mic is open.
Hey, L.A., what's going on?
I figured, since Janae Dubois passed away, and I'll play a little clip on that, and then I
Which
ran across
Which one was she?
That,
the little
she played,
thin lady?
That was Florida's best friend, Florida Evans' best friend.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture her.
On the TV show Good Times.
Yeah, I know Florida was the big lady,
yeah.
The older lady. So
and
you're saying that
Bologna was her best friend that lived in the apartment across the hallway from her. She always had gossip.
The kind of brown skin, light brown skin woman?
Yeah, that's the character of Bologna Woods.
Oh, she passed. How old was she?
Not old at all, really. 74, I think. Yeah, 74 years old.
Well, she's older than me. But I'm sad to hear that.
Yeah.
And I hope Robin's okay. But
I'm
I see you had a topic.
Her.
Education desserts. You said education deserts and manufacturing deserts.
Right.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm talking about black society. I think it's some kids that you just can't teach. I really do. Because we was talking about this the other day. Tuesday. Today Thursday. No, today Wednesday. Yeah, last night. No, what's the day? Wednesday, yeah. The guy was talking about Joe Clark. You remember him and Lean on Me?
I remember that. Saw that movie twice at least.
Yeah, and that school, East High School in New Jersey. And I was telling him, we looked up the stats. That school is doing just as bad or worse now academically as it was portrayed in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 40 years ago. That was 40 years ago. And not only that one, but others too. And here's the thing. People say what whites won't let you do. Whites ain't controlling that school district. That's black folks that's controlling that school district. That one and other ones. And then you hear them talk about historical black colleges and universities. And I was listening to a conversation on a show where these guys apparently were athletes, of football players, and they want black football players coming out of high school that's being recruited to colleges, the white college, they want to turn those down and go to black colleges. They want them to say no to the white colleges and for them to go to the black colleges. So, I'm thinking to myself, that's a dumb thing to do. And why would you want to falsely build up an institution by creating revenue off of sports than creating revenue off of endowments made to the school from former students who got a meaningful degree where they are commanding high wages and high salaries that leave them with discretionary leftover money. You see the difference?
Yep.
And then if you we're concerned that these schools are closing because of academic performance, you also got malfeasance that's going on, like down there in Jackson State where that president was caught up in a prostitution ring sting. You've had some other places where the president used college expense accounts to put furniture in her residence. Well, I don't know if the college gave her a residence to stay in. And you have some other ones, but overall, these schools are closing because they are under academic constraints. They're not meeting milestones. So states are not going to continue to put money into a rat hole. And why are these schools under academic constraints, academic underachievement, LA? Well, it goes back to lean on me. Because something's going on down at that end of the spectrum that's not producing students that's majoring in tough courses that's of high demand and where employers are willing to pay large salaries and wages. What's going on down there? Well, let's look at it a little bit further. One reason is that you don't have the family structure that put the emphasis on their child's education and is willing to sacrifice and do the things necessary, whereas their child can start off at a higher level than where they left off. Another point is that you got a system of nutrition going on where basically, in these schools, and these schools are black schools, black superintendent, black principals, black administration, black boards. Well, these kids aren't, they ain't performing, and plus money is being made off of that system. Whether the child perform or not, money is being made. You got teachers that's getting paid salaries. You got administrators that's getting paid six-figure salaries. You got superintendents that's making $200,000, $300,000. And you got boards that's coming out of the society where they was taught, undertaught, miseducated in the very system that they now sit on the board for. So either they are just lackeys or they just plain dumb. I think I covered it all.
As a person that used to be teaching a public school system, well, I guess public school is what they call it, education with politics. And that's why I prefer homeschooling over public school, at least in, you know, grades 1 through 12, because particularly these days, in Joe Clark's day, he was handcuffed by some politics, but now, in my opinion, it's worse. Because, like, in some school systems, like during Joe Clark's day, you can suspend a student for, you know, disrupting the classroom or whatever. Now, in some school systems, public school systems, not all of them, a student killing somebody, the principal can no longer suspend the student. So,
well, you're absolutely right. It's politics.
Yeah, too much politics, in my opinion.
Let me give you an example. When you go, see, when you go, when people running for election or re-election, once you look at their record, and let me pull out one person who I have been tracking their record or made a record of their record. And it's a black female. And I bet you can guess her name. Maxine Waters began her political career in the California State Assembly, where she served from 1977. That was before Lean On Me, to 1991.
Right.
I'm looking at her positions. And her positions on abortion. She voted no on banning federal health coverage that include abortions. She voted no on restricting interstate transport of minors to get abortion. She voted no on banning partial birth abortions. And once again, she voted no on barring transporting minors to get an abortion. Of course, you know that's without the parents knowing. Another thing,
right,
on education. She voted no on reauthorizing the D.C. Opportunity Scholarship Program. She did that March 2011. During whose administration? Obama. You know what the D.C. Opportunity Scholarship Program was, don't you?
No, I do. It's enlighten us.
It was a program that allowed inner city kids in D.C., if their parents so chose, and those that was, you know, well functioned, to attend a private school or school of their choice, and the money would follow the child. Barack Obama children went to a school called Siegfried Friends.
Oh yeah, up in D.C. I know where that is. I had some friends that attended that school.
Yes.
Yep. On Wisconsin Avenue.
And it's expensive school to get into.
It is.
Well, you had some black children coming from under disadvantaged situation, but they were capable of carrying the load imposed at the school. And they was using the D.C. Opportunity Scholarship to attend the school. Maxine Waters, and he killed it. Voted no on allowing school prayer during the war on terror. Voted no on requiring states to test students. I say it again. She voted no on requiring states to, like it is in Baltimore, where you had 13 high schools tested their students that was getting ready to graduate, and none of them in 13 high schools passed with proficiency. None of them. This is high school. She voted no on vouchers for private and parochial school. Voted no on giving federal aid only to schools allowing voluntary prayer. She's rated 100% by the NEA, indicating pro-public education votes. The NEA is a National Education Association, a teachers union. So when I look at that, I ain't voting for her. You know why? Because it goes against my interests. But black folks don't do that. Most of them. They're going to vote for her because of the color of her skin.
Right.
She want to be able for people can be able to file lawsuits against the gun maker of the person who used the gun to kill somebody. And she ain't the only one. Let's go down and look at John Lewis. Voted no on banning partial birth abortion. She voted no on banning family planning funding in USA and abroad. In other words, he was for Planned Parenthood being used overseas. As far as education is concerned, he voted no on reauthorizing the D.C. Opportunity Scholarship Program, just like Maxine Waters did. Voted no on allowing vouchers in D.C. schools. And the same thing, voted no on giving federal aid only to schools that was allowing voluntary prayer. He's for high taxation. He voted no on retaining reduced taxes on capital gains and dividends. Voted no on providing tax relief and simplification.
Mm-hmm.
Voted no on making permanent increase in the child tax credit. You know why that is. See, he can't vote yes on that because he's pro-abortion. If he's pro-abortion, ain't going to be no child any damn way.
Right.
So, he's pro-welfare. He voted no on maintaining a work requirement for welfare recipients. He's for open borders, where you let illegals come in. So the thing I'm saying is this. A lot of the circumstances that people find themselves in and can't get out, they participating in helping to maintain a system of what keeps them locked in a certain position. In other words, the jelly beans are stuck at the bottom of the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And if what I'm saying don't make no sense, I wish somebody tell me it don't make no sense.
No.
Because if you ain't looking at the politician that you're voting for and seeing how their record of voting, their record of voting tells you who's influencing them, too, because a lot of time it gets down to certain organizations, like these teachers' unions, that don't want to see black kids have these choices, black parents, black families have these choices, because they would take their student out of the classroom and put them elsewhere, where there is no teacher union requirement, no teachers that have to pay dues, dues that go to paying that teachers union president about $250,000 to $300,000 a year. There you have it.
Right.
Now, as far as Dwayne Wade is concerned, is what you're looking at. This continuing underlying effort that has been going on to destroy the fabric of the United States. And it came about, I'm not saying it came about, but a lot of things that you see with this confusion, especially as it has to do with gender, was emboldened by the Obama administration. And got an airplane signal coming in. And that's what you're looking at. You see where the courts rule that same-sex marriage is okay. Actually, that should have been up to the state. All right. Now you got this information being filtered down to the kids. You got all kind of things that's happening that awards children for being defiant, like the issue with the Trinidad student that was attending that one high school, and he didn't want to trim his hair. like the other students. Then you have Ellen DeGeneres and Alicia Keys award him with $20,000 for being defiant. Well, what kind of message do they send to the other kids? Well, they're saying that you don't have to follow rules, and if you don't, you'll be rewarded. And I say again, that was emboldened by the Obama administration. You got the George Soros, and you got others, yes. But you have this stuff going on in this country now at a rate I've never seen before. I don't know where Dwayne Wade get that idea. See, the law say you have to respect. It don't say you have to accept.
Right.
His mama says she don't accept it. Dwayne Wade say he does accept the boy saying that he's a girl.
Yeah, now isn't that one of those things? Now, once again, this is L.A. thing. I'm thinking farther, you know, and there's no one cookie cutter on how our parents should raise their child or what have you. But
You got to go back and look at him and see where in the hell that he developed that line of thinking. And then, too, it goes down to what I said, and we know what I recommend, is people need to do background checks on these folks that they're talking about marrying. Because how they was raised, how they live, looking around them in uncles and aunts, mothers and fathers, will tell you and give you a general picture on how they're going to behave. Now, I'm not saying that with him totally. I don't know. I don't know his background. I know his sister got killed in Chicago, I think it was, in some gang, stray bullets or something like that. But I don't know his background. So I don't know where he would have got that line of thinking to, and it's being publicized all over the place. You know, it's a funny thing how these entertainers, athletes or entertainers, are being portrayed and being paraded in front of black society to establish a model on how they should be living and thinking. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, you're right.
How the camera, how the microphone is put in front of some of these athletes, especially basketball players and football players, and getting their opinion on politics and political discussions. Well, I think they should keep their ass out of politics. Like Michael Jordan said.
Stick to their own lane. Which is whatever sport they're in.
Like Michael Jordan said when he was advertising for Hanes underwear. Well, Republicans buy Hanes too, don't they?
Well, they do. They do.
Now, on this issue of manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to some black folks talking again, saying that blacks don't manufacture and produce. And I tell you something else. I hear, like, if it wasn't for the Indians of India and those of Pakistan, maybe not Pakistan, but the Philippines, black women wouldn't have no weave. Black women would not have the material for the weave in their head. You know why?
That's true.
Because
they cut their hair.
Negroid women, hair don't grow that long. there's a difference between the Negroid and the Negro. In either one of them, hair naturally grow that long. So, thus, they got to get somebody else's hair. So, if you're not manufacturing that hair, you're going to be at the mercy of those who want that you want them to sell it to you. And if your manufacturing operation is going to conflict with their manufacturing operation, especially their kith and kin, never would they give you competitive prices with their kith and kin. So your manufacturing operation, especially in this particular line, is dead on arrival.
Right.
So something like hair, you ain't gonna never be able to get into unless you buying it from somebody else. Because as I said before, it's not your hair on your head. It's somebody else's hair on your head. Even your ethnic group. Because your ethnic group don't grow hair like that. That I know
of.
That's
true. There's plenty of hair that falls on that floor at a barbershop or a hair salon, but it's not the hair that the customer is growing.
And the same thing would apply to other areas. Unless you go manufacture in a country like Africa, one of the African countries, where the cost of living is cheap right now, and therefore the labor is cheap. Labor is usually the biggest cost in any operation.
That's true. That's, hands down.
That's why it comes to slaves.
50 to 70%, sometimes more, of the cost.
Yeah, that's why it comes slaves was used. And they didn't have nobody else to use. So, I don't know. Maybe Robin know
and
where.
Even that had a cost. Because they had.
It wasn't free. Right, you had to clothe them, you had to feed them, some of them you had
to
pay.
You had to buy them to start off with.
You're right, you had to buy them.
You had to buy them, they didn't come free. And then, like you said, you had to clothe them, feed them. If you got sick, you know, just like a pet today, it ain't scot-free, put it that way.
And like I hear people say that slaves built America. Slaves ain't built no America. And I ask them, show me where. Those people that was brought out of Africa, cases were one or two steps out of primitive.
And you know what?
And one example.
The majority of slaves were born here in the United States. I mean, you had some that came over the first generation, but you know, a lot of quite a few people. Quite a few slaves were born here in the United States. They never experienced that trip. They were born, a lot of them were born on that plantation.
Well, it's kind of like Fiddler and Kunta Kinte, right?
Yeah.
Kunta Kinte kept trying to run away. He was a recent arrival. Fiddler couldn't understand why he was wanting to run away. Fiddler was born
here. Already. Exactly. Exactly. So,
and for people to say that they built America is contradictory, because in one sentence they talk about how they weren't allowed to read and write. Well, if you can't read and write, how are you going to read blueprints in some projects?
Well, on top, you know, I need to do a podcast on that. A lot of plantations had their own schools that taught those slaves trades, you know, farming, blacksmithing, what you just said, blueprints, um, That's the part.
Well,
that
they might have. Yeah, but how many blacksmiths did you have? I remember watching Western movies. They had a livery where you had kept horses in that. You had one blacksmith in there. They didn't have no 4 or 5 dozen liveries.
No.
So mm-hmm. what they provided was just plain labor. That was it.
Right.
Planting, harvesting. When that was done, they started all over again. Clearing.
Right. Well,
anyway,
I want to cut it. Well, not cut it short for today because we went overtime yesterday, so we're not going to go overtime today. I don't know where Robin's at. But in any way, Pianki, thanks for calling in. I'm going to wrap it up for today. Everyone, have a good rest of the day.
Morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
Crush your morning goals with a steak, egg, and cheese bagel or any breakfast sandwich and snag another one for just a buck with the buy one, get one deal. Only in the McDonald's app. Limited time only at participating McDonald's. Valid once per day. Must opt into rewards.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.